All right. I'm pleased to pray Amy in and get us going. You're in for a treat. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these opportunities that we can look at these subjects and these workshops and say, which is that subject that I just need to hear something about? I need encouragement. I need ideas. I need support. I need just something around this topic that will just light my fire or have you speak in it. And so that's what we pray, that your presence be here, that you will speak through Amy on this topic of how do we take our church and make it this effective place, nurturing place to prepare workers for the field. And so we pray a blessing upon Amy and the words that she is prepared to speak, and just guide her in this time and help us to all have ears to hear and to hear from Amy and to hear from your spirit in guiding us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Julie. All right. Well, you all know a tiny bit about me because I was just doing an announcement, but briefly, and I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was going to be on this size of a TV. There's not that much on the screens. If you can't read it, I will share with you. But you might be like, why would we listen to her? Who is she? So, like many of you, I have been on all sides. I first was on a mission committee before I went to the field, and so I understand kind of that side of being supporting. Then I was on the field for about 18 years. During that time, played a number of roles. 10 of those years, I was head of member care. So on rare occasions, I would actually interact with a church of someone we'd sent. So I was with an agency. So I know what it's like to be on the agency side. And I know you all are dealing with a lot of probably different types of people. Some that are with agencies that are really, really strong. Some that are with agencies that are smaller and not able to provide all of the types of resources they would like to. And some maybe who are sent independently or doing things in a slightly different way. So I've been involved in all of those different things. And then if you've heard of Velvet Ashes, it's an online organization for women missionaries. We don't use the M word. And it started in 2013. So we were on the cutting edge of using digital resources. It's a little humorous. Those of us on the field, those of us who helped start it, were like, there are all of these digital resources for like the woman in the church in America, but so many of the examples don't apply when you're on the field. And so we wanted to figure out how to use digital resources. So we could go down the whole rabbit trail. It was a little humorous. The pandemic jumped everybody into digital resources, but we had been doing it for 7 years, which again, then the Lord really placed us in a position to be able. And you saw that I've written 6 books for different stages of people in their missionary journey, and I'm the founder of Global Trellis. So this is, I've been on all different sort of sides of this, and I really care about being effective churches and kind of all of us working together in concert together. Now, interestingly enough, I was looking at my next slide. I created this talk a couple of years ago, gave it to a mission committee, and I thought of this yesterday, so I don't have a slide for it. That's the only bad side of when you have a new idea, that this is not the first time I've given this talk, and it's so neat. I just want to encourage you. First, let me ask a question. How many of you are on a mission committee, like your part in your church? Great, this is fantastic. I love it. All right, so based upon this talk, this church went and over the years, and again, you don't have to do everything all at once. So maybe now you just take the information we're going to share. But they have done 2 things that have been so cool. And so I just want to briefly share those. One was, I don't know if you have this struggle, but how can we get beyond our little committee? How can we get our church to care about missions or to know about missions? Sometimes that's a struggle. Like the church is really on board, and yet you feel like when you call out to an event, it goes into an echo chamber. So they were like, we want to have an event for the people in our church about missions and to help them know. And it was a fantastic way to involve then their missionaries. So let their missionaries feel a part of the local body. So what the event was called was a day, or like to walk in their steps. So it took some work ahead of time for the committee. They contacted all of the missionaries and they asked some questions like, what is some of the food you eat? What does it look like to go shopping? Or what, just some of the things in their daily life. And what are prayer requests you have? So they did some gathering. So they got pictures and like printed out pictures of different food. And also, you guys know when you've been on the field, sometimes you eat things that you don't know what they are. And you don't ask questions. You just have to, you have to deal with a lot of ambiguity. So they created, and this was an event for families in their church, and they really promoted it. Bring your kids to this. And it was so exciting. So it was one night, about an hour and a half, and they set up four different stations. So one was a station of food stuff. So you'd go in and they had some printed off pictures, and some it was like asking, what do you think these different things are? And I could get you more, as I said, I thought of this yesterday. So I need to kind of build a starter kit a little bit better about how to do this. So I'm sorry, but I just wanted to encourage you. And then they had some food there for them to try and made a range. Like if you don't want to try food and this is totally out of your comfort zone, no pressure, but those of you that want to. So again, you know, some people are like, ah, you know, and just having some different food to try. One was a prayer station. So they, for 15 minutes in each station, and they did like praying in color, which means if you've got the different, they had the printed out prayer requests, and sometimes praying in color is just like underlining words. It might be circling words and praying specific things. So it's ways, again, to like interactively and that you can involve your kids with praying for different missionaries. One station was just hosted by a local, like a ministry, so they could hear from a missionary. So if you've got someone in town, it's a way for them to have a captive audience for 15 minutes about what it is they're doing. And then the fourth station was just basically like the station of ambiguity. So having some missionary or former missionary, I led that station, but just sharing, these are some of the situations you find yourself in and sort of how would you navigate that? And if you've got someone who's real outgoing, like we, and sometimes we would do like a little border patrol person and like some of the questions you might be asked. So anyways, just to give that flavor, it was such a great way and it really encouraged the church beyond just the mission committee. Then the second thing they did from this was, you know, sometimes when we're in mission committees, like we are just, our noses are to the grinds. You care about the people you're, but once a year now they have a celebration party just for the mission committee. And as the committee gets together, they hang up the names. Now it would be a little hard with 180 whatever missionaries, but they hang up the names and they'll go around and be like, okay, Sally, who had contact with her this year? And so someone might be like, oh, I emailed with her, or I got this prayer, I got, so just, first of all, it helped as a small marker to be, look at all the times we did touch base with people. And it might highlight, oh, we touch base with those four a lot, and these three not so much. And just to even be reminded, so it was this whole celebration, they had a meal together, they ate banh mi sandwiches, so again, trying to do something a little mission-y, but just a way to celebrate, look what God has done through us, through these missionaries around the world. And it was just, I think it's good for us as mission committees to remember to celebrate too. You all are doing a lot of volunteer work gladly, but it's good for us to sometimes also just separate out and go, what all of these things that we've been doing, how is it that God has used them? So I just encourage you, if you want a way to involve your church, there are fun ways to involve your church. And if you just need to encourage yourselves and just notice what God is doing. So those are for free, not on the slides, very sorry, but they came to me yesterday. That was the outcoming of this talk, which encourages me, God is going to use what we're talking about today in ways that will, you know your congregation or you know your needs, you know the needs of your missionaries, to just encourage you to think of what are fun ways we can take what we're going to talk about. All right, so the first thing I want to say when to be an effective sending agency is to do a brief assessment of your people. And by that, what I mean is think through right now, who are all of the different people you are sending, that not all are going to be the same. Not all will you have the exact same responsibility to. So for example, they might be tiered in terms of your responsibility. Maybe it is someone who has been sent out from your church. That is going to be a very different type of emotional financial, and then in a crisis, your role in a crisis is going to be a lot more involved than maybe it is someone who you support. Let's just pretend, since all of you are, since we're at a church in Minnesota, and I'm assuming a lot of you have locally come, that you're here in Minnesota, but it's someone you know who's based out of Colorado, or maybe they're based out of California. So you care about them. You care what happens to them. You will be praying for them. You will be emotionally invested, but the chances are in a crisis, you won't be the front line because they will probably be in California or wherever their home base is. So just to think through. And then maybe some of the people you support, it's Brother Joseph in Nigeria. He is Nigerian, and you really want to support that. And that is wonderful. But to say the truth is, if Brother Joseph is having a crisis, your role is going to be different than it is when it's Sally sent out from your church and her husband was just killed and she's coming back. So just understanding, sometimes as a sending church, I think it's wonderful as your committee to get together and to be like, okay, who are all of our people? And kind of put them in three groups. Very, very responsible. Like, we are the front line if something goes down. Medium, and then more at a distance. I think that is just helpful then that we're kind of all on the same page as a committee. And we understand we don't have the exact same obligation to everyone. So I want to just give you 2 minutes right now, on paper, in your brain, somewhere, to think through who are people, as we're listening to this talk, who are some of the people that you are thinking of, that you are sending out? So I'm going to be quiet and let you think. And if you're with someone, it's fine to chat with them next to you. That's fine. All right, I like to take time to do that to anchor us in reality. We're talking about real people when we're talking about this subject. And it can kind of be easy to think about all the people we send out and to go, okay, we're talking about Steve. We're talking about Jessica. We're talking about Max and whoever Max is married to. I forget. I'm kidding because I just made him up. All right. So we are going to be talking through four key areas that I want you to think through, also to assess. I think there's, again, I don't want to say everyone is exactly the same, but it's good to assess what is our level of responsibility in this area, what is our level of responsibility in that area, and then to engage with. I want you to not just be like, oh, that was so interesting, and go out and do nothing with this. Then, no offense, we've all wasted our time. If you're not going to think about this, talk to people, apply. You don't have to apply all of it, but take one or two. And if you don't actually apply them, well, I'm so sorry you've wasted an hour on a Saturday morning. I like engaging with information. And then I put in parentheses, the final area is possibly something to prepare for. I just want to put it on your radar and have you be thinking about it. All right. So the first area for us to think about, to assess, and to engage is really to be an effective sending church. It's relationship. That we want to be in relationship with the people we send out. Especially those quote-unquote first-tier ones who are truly sent out by your church. I, as one who has been sent out, and I'm still on full-time support, they are not here, so I can say frankly, sometimes I feel I'm just a check to them. They just give money. In a time of crisis, I know they'd be there for prayer, but most of my life isn't lived in crisis. most of my life is lived in the ordinary up and down of ministry, or even things that, especially now that I've moved more to digital ministry, it's hard to explain what I need them to pray for other than such and such isn't working. Many years ago, when I was on the field, it was my second year, I had bacterial meningitis and I almost died. I went into a coma and my parents got the phone call, the next phone call will be that Amy has died. So it's very, that was one where people totally rallied around and prayed. That is one example out of 30 years in full-time ministry. And it is, I mean, God, I think if I had died, God still would have been, it's not because I live, God did a miracle. God could have done a miracle many, many ways. But that was, I think it's easy because those are tangible and they matter. I mean, hello, someone almost dying on the other side of the world in very questionable medical care. I mean, there were just so many miracles. And that is one to rally around. But I want you to be the kind of church that rallies around more than just that, more than just the crisis. I think it's so important to be there in the crisis, but to be more than a crisis response sending committee. And so I look at Paul's letters. I think he's such a beautiful example because so much of his ministry was at a distance. Like, I'm here, I'm writing a letter there. I'm here, I'm writing a letter there, maintaining a relationship. So it's not new. How do we support one another from a distance? This is not a new thing. And he anchors it so much in relationship. Look at how many names are in his letters. Greet so-and-so. And he would reference so-and-so's mother. He knew things about them. And so really, when I say be a sending church that's about relationship, I don't want you to suddenly feel overwhelmed of, oh my word, now I have to do all the things and I have to be all the things. I want us to lower the bar. When you get some kind of communication, like a newsletter from one of your M's, a lot of times now they're email newsletters. Isn't that, would you say like the majority? Maybe not all, and that's fine. But if you get an email newsletter, what do you do with it? Read it, and then what? Hopefully, this is what I want to encourage. Write a response. And the thing is, if you've just read this letter that's like, whatever, let's say 7 paragraphs long, sometimes we feel the impetus, oh my gosh, I got to write back about the same to show that I read everything. No, just write back, oh my word, so great to hear from you. Wow, that situation with the mango tree sounds pretty crazy. Praying for you, Amy. Like, lower the bar. But again, as I mentioned, I send out newsletters and I try to engage my supporters. I will put in the PS a question for them to reply back to me. And I try to make it so easy. Would you rather, whatever, eat a mango or a this? Like, I try to make it so easy. And I tell you, a good letter, my support list goes out to about 240. If I get 5 responses, that is high response. And these are people, many who have walked with me for years. And so again, I'm not saying any of this to shame you, but I just want to say the bar, sometimes we set the bar too high, so then we feel like we can't do it. I just want to say, it's good to have a bar, but lower it. It's good to have a bar, lower it, and just acknowledge. And I tell you, slowly, month by month, little sentence by little sentence, a relationship can be built. A relationship can be built. So understand that who you're sending, who you're engaging with, it is a relationship. Respond. Two-way. This is one thing I have yet. I'm on a campaign. Do you, as a sending committee, write out to your missionaries? Do you write them a letter? I so want to, obviously I realize what I'm asking is really hard because no one's done it yet. But I would love to have a mission committee, a sending committee, that like once a quarter or once every 6 months just wrote a newsletter out to their people. Hey, we had Vacation Bible School this summer. And like just little things about what you're doing in your church. And that's the thing is, I think the thing about these sort of letters, And the thing about too many of our missionaries, because it's not rooted in relationship, it feels like I'm writing a report. Oh, at our church, did you know we had 7 kids come to Vacation Bible School? And we get like embarrassed. We anchor things too much in numbers, in metrics. And that's why if it's anchored in relationship, and I think they'd love to know, hey, we had this massive plumbing problem. So like the last 3 weeks we've been having church in whatever, out in the lobby. Just little things about a relationship. What's going on? Hey, for those of you who are from Roseville, I'm not, so I'm going to make up things that are not true. Did you know that Grand Avenue had the stop sign go out? Or whatever, like stupid little things. But if someone's from that area, little things that show. And then, like, here's a picture of our mission committee. They probably don't know your faces. Just little things. Like, we meet once a month. Click. Like, take a picture of you all, or take a picture of someone, you know, praying hands. I think like that's where it can be kind of silly. But to say, we do pray for you. And that's why I'm like, it doesn't have to be this professionally made video. Hold out your phone, take a blurry picture, because it's about relationship. This isn't marketing material where it does need to be professional. This is just a letter to show, hey. And that's why I said, like, once a quarter, what's going on at your church? To let them feel. Often as a missionary, it feels very one way. And that's why I'm just trying to think, like, what can we do to make it a little bit more two-way? So I think replying when they send out a newsletter and doing things that actually foster relationship. Sending out, I know a lot of committees will want to, like, at a birthday, maybe send a card. That's nice, but if they don't know you and they just get a card signed from Hank, Jessica, Bibbidi-Bob, Bidibidoo, Bididoo, that's nice, but it's like, how can we move a little beyond that to actual relationships? And that's why you need to assess your people, and you need to assess what is right in your context, what is right where they are. So I don't know what that is, but I'm hoping you will go back and with your committee, spend a little bit of time. How could we foster relationships with people? How can we know, how can we do something for them? So take 30 seconds, and I wrote down there an action item. I will. What is something you are going to do to help foster relationship? Maybe I will talk to our mission committee about, or I will start replying to emails. I will. What is something you're going to do to foster relationship with the people you've sent? All right, the second thing to be an effective sending committee, to be an effective sending church, one, we want it anchored in relationship. We want it anchored in relationship. And even if it's like a distant relationship, it is Brother Joseph in Nigeria. But still, it's moved beyond just a check and prayers, that there's some element of relationship. Number two is, especially for those first-tiered ones, maybe the first-tiered and the second-tiered, to think through their stages of life. So, for example, a single person that you have sent out, there's a big difference between a single in their 20s, a single in their 40s, a single in their 60s, a single in their 70s. And so to think through, oh, singles in their 20s, they're probably dealing with, and again, that's where you need to know their situations. Are they on a team? Are they in an agency that values singles in the sense that they have their own apartment and they're treated like an adult? Or are they with an agency where, oh, because you're single, you're going to be living in so-and-so's apartment with a wall that's just a shower curtain? So you really never actually have true privacy as a single, but it's because you're single. and you're being treated that you're not an adult yet, or you're not like a real adult, because real adults get married. Actual adults get married. Where someone in their 40s now, they are probably dealing with things like, especially if they've been on the field for a while. When they went to the field, they were the cool young 20. They socially fit in. It's appropriate for many cultures around the world to have people who are single in their 20s. But as they have stayed single and aged in that society, they are probably now out of step culturally with certain parts of the culture they've been called. And so just that weirdness of just slightly out of step. And it totally depends on the single. Do they want to be married? Is that a longing? And so actually, this is a great point of disappointment with God. I did not think I was going to be single and childless, God. I did not think I'd be doing this alone. Or are they a single who's actually, they're very happy single. And so you're trying to make an issue for something that isn't an issue for them. And they're like, asked and answered, move on. Like, it's not an issue for me. So that's why, like, no. But when it's out of relationship, then you know what that is. And as they are, one of the things at Global Trellis, we have an aging parents cohort. So it's for missionaries who are supporting aging parents and that whole tension of all that goes with that. So again, if I'm a single person, is the assumption in my family I will be the one that comes back? That's where, like, every family is different. So that's why I cannot say, but that's when it's based out of relationship. But you can see what it looks like to be an effective sending agency for a 24-year-old man versus a 47-year-old single man, or all of that. So based on newly marrieds on the field, are they with an agency that requires them to be off of the field? So that's, again, every agency, every situation is going to be different. If they are, one of the greatest stressors is finding housing back in the U.S. So could you be helpful if they are required in that first year of marriage to be off the field to help with housing? When they go back, had they been single on the field and now they're married on the field? That's a whole different transition of kind of what you did as a single versus figuring out, and especially, I will say, for the females. What a single female is allowed to do in cultures could be very different than suddenly a married female. So the transition she is going through for what she had been allowed to do versus now what is expected as a married woman in that culture. So just thinking through different stages of life. And then as you're beginning to have children, missionaries with young children, did they go to the field with young children? So they kind of sort of figured out this parenting thing in their own culture and then are transitioning that to the field. Or did they have children on the field? And some of the things with young children, as they're getting slightly older school age and maybe beginning to notice some educational needs that might be beyond, and so wrestling with that. Do we need to go off the field for a year to get educational support for our child? Are there ways that, like, once we're trained, we can support them? Or is this a bigger issue? Also, children then who, they're the only children on that team. So trying to think through social needs for your kids. Different educational setups. Some places it's going to be awesome for the kids to be in local schools. Some local schools, it might be if they start there, that's great, but the minute they take a year out to go on home assignment, they almost then are choosing to not be in local schools because they will have missed so much in 1 year. So all of these things to think about and to help families feel we can talk about these things without risking our job. So many of these things, they're tender, and they hear the horror stories of, oh, well, if you say anything about so-and-so, you know you're going to be removed from the field. Which, again, when it's based in relationship, there can be more honest and open communication. So you are set up even better to support your people. You are set up to understand their stresses And it helps everyone have more compassion and understanding and truly be in this together. As I said, education. Sometimes it's assumed, oh, well, the wife is going to be the homeschool teacher. And the wife is saying, what is the last thing on this planet I ever want to do? Be a homeschool teacher. And so maybe for that family to stay on the field, there's an international school that their kids can go to. That costs a lot of money. And that's where sometimes, again, assessing, is the best use of our church funds to, that is such a strategic partnership to pay for international school? And sometimes the answer is yes. And sometimes the answer is no. And that's where, I don't know for you, but if we don't think about these things, then we can't, with the Holy Spirit, make the best decisions for that family, for your church, for the kingdom. And then thinking through stages of life, health. Do they have easy access to health, to healthcare? And if not, again, you might need to come through, hey, we'll pay your plane ticket to get to Bangkok, to get to the hospital. You've got insurance that once you get there, kicks in. But so often situations get worse than they need to be because the preventative nature is, this is just how some people think. And so if you can help them relieve to go, hey, you know what? We've set aside a medical fund. There are funds available that you can apply to go get health care, to go get health care, or to get yourself. There's a lot of places, but sometimes getting themselves to the health care is what can be stressful. Vacations. Do you encourage people to take vacations or not? And so then there's this embarrassment. I can't share that my family and I took a vacation because then it looks like we're not committed to Christ. So there's a lot of like hiding and game playing. Honestly, there's a lot of shells. Like if you have those three cups and a marble underneath, because it's not rooted out of relationship. And so then it's like, I'm embarrassed to let you know I went on this vacation because you're thinking how much it cost you and you don't realize that for where I am in the world, this was actually quite affordable. And I need the rest, and I want to just play in a pool with my kid. Or I'm on all the time. I want to just sit on a beach. I'm a single person. I want to just sit on the beach and read a book. Be recharged and go back. And so are you encouraging, hey, we want you to go on vacations. Are you helping your people think about retirement? We're doing a lot better now than we used to, but previous generations, assuming the Lord will provide, which meant we're off the hook right now. Shame on all of us, which thankfully we've gotten the memo and we're taking retirement, thinking through retirement, helping people prepare for it. But that stage of life, encouraging someone in their 20s on the field, look, you want to be here long term, we want you to be here long term. Start saving for retirement. Start saving for retirement. Just some of these things and managing that tension that the Lord does provide. And yet every generation he provides in different ways. And I think in our current generation, part of it is through planning. That is the way the Lord provides, is through planning. So that is the second thing to think through. Oh, whoops, let me back up. Briefly, again, I don't want to just talk. So stage of life, what is one action item you want to take? Maybe with your committee or just you personally. So 30 seconds to think about considering stage of life and the people that you have sent out. What is something that you're going to do? All right, so we've rooted in relationship. We've thought about their stage of life. And the third thing I want to encourage us as being effective sending committees is to think beyond prayer requests. So often, and I love prayer requests, so I didn't say don't think about prayer requests. I said think beyond them. So as you think about your people, again, maybe this is something you as a committee could do. What do you know about their visa process? And so it may be nothing, and you're like, because I don't want to know. No, I'm kidding. But asking them questions. So assuming maybe you've got a lot of people, you divide up. And like, again, beginning to build that relationship. So Gail emails Mark and was like, hey, we were at this conference, so I don't mean this to totally come out of left field. But I realize I don't know anything about your visa process. What is it like? How often do you have to renew it? Is it really hard to get? How is COVID affected? Who is allowed in your, like, I'm just kind of curious now. Well, let me tell you, almost anyone on the field, right? What do you love to talk about? Your visa process, because it's like, you're like, oh, you have just, there's the rare person who's like, I don't want to talk about it because it has nothing to do with my life. Oh no, it is key to their lives. And often they have spent a lot of effort, depending where they are in the world and what that government requires. You suddenly might go down to a rabbit hole that you're like, oh my word. For example, in China, you have to have everything authenticated at the closest consulate or embassy to where you did that. So let's say you're an American who got married in Chicago, so you might need to go to the Chicago embassy to have your marriage license stamped with the appropriate stamp. But then you had your first child in California, so their birth certificate has to be verified by the San Francisco consulate. And then you moved to Florida for education, and you had your second and your third child there. So now, so suddenly, it is not just take a packet of information and go get it validated. It can, and then everywhere you went to school. So I did my undergrad here. Well, I did not know that moving one state over, I'm no longer in this consulate's district. And so just little things that are very important to their lives that we just sort of forget sometimes to ask about. What do you know about the current political situation? And here again, I don't want to get, I know some areas you need to be really, really sensitive and very careful. So thinking, like, not just be like, hey, what do you think about Xi Jinping? You know, or some, like, what do you think about Putin as you're in Russia? And you're like, I think he's a wonderful leader. Like, what else am I going to say? When I lived in China, we were like, there's three T's you just don't talk about. Taiwan, Tibet, and Tiananmen Square. So understanding wherever your people are, but I still think it deeply affects. And so they might not be talking about it with locals appropriately to be like, hey, I'm an outsider. I'm not here about politics. I'm here about Jesus. I am here about Jesus. But to understand their, like, how are, and that's why I said to be creatively thinking about how are what's going on around you. So finding creative ways to say, you know, I know there's a lot of leaders right now that are doing some things that can be a little bumpy around the world. What bumps are you feeling? So just to acknowledge there is political, like, that's going to affect them. And there might be some local leader in a country, again, if we're not talking about big ones, Russia, China, but there are tons of small countries around the world that you can figure out how are local politics, what is going on in your area, how is that affecting local residents, how is that affecting your work, just to be aware. It's interesting, I'm in a small group, it doesn't matter, but someone in New Zealand, and we were having a call this week, did you know there's been these horrible cyclones in New Zealand. I had no idea, because right now on the news, it's all about, understandably, Turkey. I think 20,000, what was she saying? 20,000 people in New Zealand have been displaced, like in the last week. No idea. But because I know this person, and then, like, through her sharing, now it's on my radar. and trying to, so just some of these things where it's not the big thing that's in the news right now, but golly, it's huge in their world. And so finding out what's going on in their world. And that's why, like, we don't have to be experts on everything, but because it's based in relationship, then we want to be experts on what's going on, or we want to be aware of what's going on. How are relationships with other countries impacting them? So wherever you are in the world, how are neighboring countries, how is that impacting you? What's going really well with neighboring countries right now? What's not going well? So just thinking beyond the prayer card, I think we want to know so much about their lives, of course, but to kind of move it beyond a little bit to a broader context, that this is where they're living and working and serving. And so what's going on around them is kind of what's happening. And it's so much easier to ask, like, how's your mom doing? I understand that. And you do want to ask about mom, but you also want to ask about, wow, I heard this thing happened in Chile. How has that been? You know, what are people on the street saying about that? Asking about their housing. When you're on the field, your housing affects your life. I just read Gail's mouth, everything. It does. So asking about, like, hey, what is your housing like right now? What's really good about it? Like, what do you really like about your housing? What's a good setup? What is just challenging right now? What's challenging? Like, do you have neighbors that are really loud? Do you have, you know, enough space for everybody? So just ask, again, two things people love talking about, visas and housing. And then asking about their current team or their current setup, their current offices, their current work. What's going really well about it? What's really challenging right now about? And the thing is, you all know this, but I'm going to say these things out loud just to bring them back up to our level of consciousness. There is so much turnover in cross-cultural work. So many people coming and going that the answers to these questions are going to change. And so touching base, there is so much movement. Touching base. So as you think about beyond prayer requests and something that you'd like to get to know, what is one action item that you're going to take? Maybe you realize, I don't know that much about XYZ for people. Or so, you know, 30 seconds, what is something that you're going to do that's beyond prayer requests? All right, the fourth area we're going to talk about. So we've talked about being an effective sending committee, mission committee. You are rooted in relationship. You think about their stage of life and kind of maybe how that is impacting them. You think beyond the prayer requests. And then the fourth area is hard situations. And especially for those tier one people, those people who have been sent out by your church, in a crisis that you will be in those hard situations, you're probably going to be called on a lot more than with like the tier two people or the tier three people. And so your role is going to be so crucial. And these situations are all slightly different. And if when you have been in the quote-unquote mission world long enough, you're going to face every one of these. And I bet you have if you've been doing this any number of time, but a medical situation. So for example, someone gets cancer and the best place for them to get treatment is to come back. And so suddenly they're quote unquote at your doorstep, maybe not your actual house, but your church's doorstep. They're gonna need housing, they're gonna need support. emotional support. They might need help. And again, depending, some people are going to have a lot of relationships. Some people have been on the field 20, 30 years. So the people who they knew have moved out of the area. The people that they knew who could take them to the doctor's appointment, who could bring them food. And so it's going to really fall on your committee more to step up in that instance, to step up in that instance. And some things can be very public. So-and-so gets cancer. We want to pray and support them. Some things are a lot more delicate. And so being willing to hold confidences and not sharing, but coming alongside and supporting. So I wrote psychological, and that can cover a whole range. Maybe they have been removed from the field for a season to go to a more intensive place. Maybe something has come up, a massive anger issue, and the way they have been handling their anger is inappropriate on the field. And this is where it gets really tricky if it's a married couple, because, again, maybe, and I've had both situations where the way the wife handled anger, absolutely inappropriate, to the point had to be removed from the field. I've had it the same. Husband, you cannot throw things at your teammates. Multiple times. And be like, oh, I just got angry. I'm sorry. No, this is beyond what is appropriate for a teammate to have to deal with, especially when it's for anyone. But you want to say a couple in their 40s and their teammates are three young women in their early 20s. No, you may not throw things at your teammates. You're going to be removed. And you're going to have to go to counseling. And if you do the work, you can come back. Like, I'm always about restoration. Always about restoration. But if you don't do the work, you're not coming back. And I learned the hard way. So again, little, because people who are not healthy are not healthy, right? We said, you need to get counseling. Okay, my Uncle Bob counseled me, and Uncle Bob signed the piece of paper. Okay, that happened once, and I learned. You have to be counseled by someone with some credentials beyond their name. And you have to sign a release that they can let us know you did the work. I don't want to know specifics in their counsel, in your counseling, but your counselor has to write a report that so-and-so met 16 times. We discussed how to handle anger, and I believe they do have the tools. Okay, good. Uncle Bob says I'm good is not gonna fly. I think Uncle Bob, whatever. Anyways, you can see these are from real situations. And again, you kind of get burnt once. And but anger issues. And then that costs a lot of money to go to. So again, trying to figure out what is your role? What are your responsibilities? Sometimes psychological could be someone has experienced very severe depression, like so severe they really are not able to function, and it's so much more loving to get them out of that situation because they are not sleeping, they are not eating. Again, different psychological things. Maybe it's to the point they're picking at their face, and so just God bless that. Like, your heart goes out for compassion to a servant of the Lord. And so they're going to need to come home. And so often many situations, there's a lot of shame associated with it. A lot of shame. And a lot of, I have failed. And trying to be like, I don't understand how God works. I don't understand why he let so-and-so's mind betray them or so-and-so's emotions. And for a season, they are broken. And our role is to lovingly come around them and remind them it's not what you do that makes you valuable. It is not where you are that makes you are not more valuable when you're in Nepal than when you're in Roseville, Minnesota. And that's a message we all need to hear. Again and again and again. So in these hard situations where suddenly you're on the front line, it's going to take a lot of time, But it's to go, this is what it means to be an effective sending church. And emergencies don't announce themselves, right? You suddenly get a call from an agency. So-and-so is coming home or whatever. Now, and then I want to say, sometimes the hard situation is they are not good partners to you. They're not writing letters. They're not filling out, maybe for whatever your church is, an annual report. And that, you know, a year goes by. That's okay. Like, we're not all about reports. 2 years goes by. 3 years goes by. 4 years goes by. They're not responding to emails. They're not. At what point, then, do you need to consider not supporting them anymore? And trying to think for when you have done your best in being a good sending church, and it really feels like they're just, quote unquote, taking the check. So again, it's not like after 1 month, well, you're out of here. But when they're, on the rare occasion, we're talking like, you know, maybe 0.1%. I don't know what hard situation God is going to have you and your committee face. Whether it's going to be a medical one, whether it's going to be psychological, whether it's going to be some, like, just the weird random, and again, very rare. But I think it's good to be aware that some sort of hard situation is going to come to you. And you might have to make some hard decisions that don't feel fun. But this is also our responsibility about being effective sending churches and committees and being a part of the body of Christ. So maybe one, I want to give a few minutes or 30 seconds to think through what's one action step. Maybe we haven't as a committee talked about XYZ, or I don't know any counseling. Like if someone came to me and needed counseling, I don't know counseling, so I need to do a little research on counseling centers around me. Just take 30 seconds. Maybe what's something, thinking about a hard situation that you might need to do now to think about or research? So we've talked about the importance of being a sending church, that it's based in relationship. It's based in relationship. We also understand different people are at different stages of lives and are going to have different needs. We want to get to know them beyond the prayer card. Think about visas, housing. Think about just the political realities that they're in. And we want to be aware, if we all live long enough, there's going to be a hard situation. In a marriage, infertility, like there's just going to be, life we all know is hard. And it's going to be, we know there's going to be some hard situation that faces the people that you have sent out. So we want to not be afraid of that, but just be aware. That's part of being an effective sending church, is a hard situation. So before we end, I want to leave you with a few resources. As I mentioned earlier, I didn't know they were going to have me come up right before this. I wrote some books. All right, so you can go check them out. But the one I really wanted to let you know is at Global Trellis. So these are digital resources. I want you to be aware of them so you can share them with your people, that you don't have to know everything. So if you go to globaltrellis.com, up at the top, unfortunately you can't exactly see in that picture, but I just want to point it out. Along the top, you go to Global Trellis, you'll see the word resources. Resources. So if you click resources, this is what you'll see. You'll see what's called the resource library. And since I took this picture, actually, there's another line here. You will see that you can download that PDF of what's available when at Global Trellis. So you don't have to remember when everything's available. But we have divided things into three areas. Topics, books. So if you're looking for a book, it's not like books by Amy Young. It's an actual curated library of books. So there's five, you can find books, and then services. So if you're looking for a coach, you're looking for debriefing, you're looking for pre-field training, you're looking for counselors. And so you can go and look through and find all. What are digital? What are things they have to be in person? So all kinds, like there's loads. But the one to really make you aware of is when you click on topics, we have curated 16 different areas. So I wanted to make this as easy for you as possible to find things. You can't quite see them because I didn't know it would be this small. I wanted you to just go, oh, if I see this on the screen, I'm in the right place. So, for example, aging parents. I've written them down here. Aging parents, culture, finance, grief and loss. So these are all articles about them. They are workshops. It's a lot of resources. If someone's on home assignment, things related to language learning, leadership, life hacks, life hacks, postpartum depression, rest, spiritual practices, third culture kids, team, transitions, stress management, and trauma. So if you click on one of those, let's say you click on, which one did I click on? Stress management. So if you click on stress management, these are all of the articles, so you can just click on an article and then forward that to someone. And down here are the workshops. So those are about $14 a piece. They're an hour long, presented by experts in different areas. We just wanted to get these kind of resources out to people where they are, and they're all perfectly, or they're all geared for cross-cultural workers. I just love having resources to be able to share with people. Right now at Global Trellis, we just started it this week through the end of May, we're going to be building a rule of life. And I don't know if you've heard of a rule of life. It's like how you want to live your life. We all have a rule of life now, but many of us have an unintentional one. and so this is specifically geared for cross-cultural workers. One of our spiritual directors taking a topic each week and thinking through it. So next week, we're looking at roles and relationships. The week after that, your temperament, your personality, how has God wired you? Looking at these different areas and then bringing it all together of how do we want to live with God. So that's just a free resource that's going on right now at Global Trellis. Thank you so much for your time. I love your heart for being an effective sending mission committee. Your missionaries are so glad that you're at this conference, not just that you're in this workshop. They think you're really smart because you're here. I don't mean that. But they're so happy that you're here, that you care about them, and that you want to do the best you can to play your part in the Great Commission. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your day.